Okay, the today is the 12th of Kislev. Next week, on Tuesday, will be the 19th of Kislev. And for those who have anything to do with Hasidus, or close or far, know that in Chabad, Yud Tes Kislev is a very important day. Now, I am not Chabad, nor am I of the Chabad persuasion. However, it is a momentous day on the Jewish calendar for many, many Jews. And I want to talk, and we're going to learn today, a piece from the Baal HaTanya, the first Rebbe of Chabad, that relates to Yud Tes Kislev, but also, for us, most importantly, relates to this week's Parsha. But just a bit of historical background before we read the text that's in front of us. In the end of the 1700s, in the beginning of the 1800s, the disagreement between Hasidim and their opponents, the Misnagdim, was at a fevered pitch. For good reasons, the Gra and his Talmidim had reasons to be concerned about the approach of Hasidus, the Talmidim of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, how they were acting, how they conducted themselves, major theological, philosophical differences about how Hashem runs the world, Hashem's place in the world, a lot of different complicated things going on. We do not have the time, nor the ability right now to go through the entire gamut and the disagreements between Misnagdim and Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Gaon, the Magid of Mezrich, their students, and how everything was played out. But at a certain point, things got very, very heated. And people said things that perhaps 200 years later, they would regret that they said. Perhaps 200 years later, they would regret what they did. And Rav Meir ben Rafal was a chassid in Vilna, and the Baal HaTanya wrote him a letter after the Vilna Gaon had died, and the Tanya was already printed, the major text of Chabad, though before, as we'll discuss, the arrest of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in this letter, he describes the very difficult years that the Hasidim suffered under the persecution from the Misnagdim, and the Misnagdim as well wrote their same letters talking about the persecution they suffered under Hasidic hands. And the Baal HaTanya says that they should never have retaliated, and instead, the right thing should have been to wait it out and to not speak up and to go against the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim. And he notes that in 1772, they went to the Magid of Mezrich. The Magid of Mezrich was the primary Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, who told them to not respond to the attacks of the Misnagdim. In 1798, on Sukkot, the prosecutor general of Russia ordered the arrest of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi because of complaints that he was against the government, that he was fueling anti-Tsarist perceptions amongst his people. And October 7th, he was arrived in St. Petersburg. There he was interrogated. He was interrogated on the Senate floor of the Russian government. The questions had all to do about Hasidus, and because the questions were too hard to answer without an interpreter, the Baal HaTanya asked to write down his responses in Lashon HaKodesh. And his writing was actually kept in Russia for 2 centuries, and only recently were those writings released. And he writes, and this is not what we're going to learn today, but in those writings that were released from the Baal HaTanya in that interrogation, he writes about his learning of the Magid of Mezrich, his Rebbeim, Rosh Shlomo of Karlin, and eventually he would be released. On November 16th, 1798, it's November 27th, according to the calendar the Russians would eventually change to because they made a change in their calendar. The Tsar ordered the release of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Baal HaTanya, and he declared that he does not find him, nor does he find Hasidus to pose a major threat to the nation. After the Baal HaTanya is released from jail on Yud Tes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, which will be commemorated in Chabad this coming Tuesday, a day that is a yontif amongst Hasidim and certainly in Chabad, the Baal HaTanya wrote in Igeres HaKodesh, he wrote a letter of holiness. And this letter in Chabad is referring to as the Geres of Katonti because of the first word that begins the letter. And he wrote this letter to Hasidim V'Anshlei Shlomenu. In Chabad, Anash refers to fellow Hasidim. And there he attempts to enlighten them. And how does one respond to a great event? Yes, in particular, we're going to see how it applies to the events of 1798. But for everybody here, what the Baal HaTanya is going to teach us, we're going to learn together, is how does a Jew respond to great things? What is the emotional place that a person should turn towards? What does a person find within themselves when they hear great news, great information, something wondrous and magical and magnificent happens in their life? And we're going to learn together to see how he guides us and hopefully to pull apart different lessons in what he wants us to learn. The letter is printed in the Igeres HaKodesh, which is in the back of the Tanya. In the Likutei Amarim, this is Siman Beis. You should have a number one on top of the first page. There should be a giant Beis at the beginning of the letter. And beforehand, there's a note. And the note says, Achar Biyaso Mi Pei Beis, which is Rosh Hashanah for after he arrived from Petersburg, after his arrival from St. Petersburg, after the interrogation. And the letter says as follows, as it says in this week's Parsha, Katonti mikol hachasadim umikol, and the rest of the Pasuk, that I become small, says Yaakov, from all the favors, from all of the emes, the truth, says the rest of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Hashem, that Yaakov turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, please save me from my brother Esav. I need help. And even though, Hashem, you've done a tremendous amount of me, I have katonti, I am small. Perush. What does this mean? Well, what do you mean, what does this mean? It seems to be very self-explanatory. He says that I am small from all of the kindness. To understand the perush, we need a little bit of background here. Rashi comments on the word katonti, that katonti is a result of mikol hachasadim and mikol emes. That me being made small is because of all the merits have been diminished because of the favors and the truth you have done for me. Now the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban on that Rashi says that this comment is inconsistent with the Lashon of the Pasuk. The Lashon of the Pasuk says, I, katonti, I have become small. Not that the merits have become small. Right, Rashi says, katonti, meaning all of my zechuyos have now been diminished. But the Ramban says, now the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, katonti, I have become small from all of it. So the Ramban understands that katonti, I've become small, in the Lashon of Yaakov Avinu, to mean that I am unworthy of receiving all of your kindness. I am so small, Hashem, and I am unworthy of all the chesed and all the emes that you have given me. According to the Ramban, I've become small is not a result of Hashem's kindness, but rather an expression of the speaker's being unworthy of Hashem's chesed and emes. The Baal HaTanya is going to explain differently. He's going to say a little bit like Rashi, a little bit like the Ramban. Let's see what he says. Perush. Shebechol chesed v'chesed shehakadosh baruch hu osela adam tzarech lihios shefal ruach b'ma'od. That with every single favor that Hashem bestows upon man, he ought to become very humble. Each time Hashem does a favor to us, we should become more and more humble. Ki. Chesed deroa yemina. Because the idea of chesed in Kabbalah is in Hashem's right arm. That's what the Zohar says. V'yimino techabkeni. And it also says in Shir HaShirim that Hashem embraces me, Hashem hugs me with his right arm. What does that mean? Shibechinas kirvas elokim mamash b'yeser se'es milfanim. Which refers to the state of Hashem actually bringing a person closer to Hashem far more intensely than before. That every chesed that Hashem does for us brings us closer to Him. Meaning, when you have chesed in your life and there are good things that happen to you, it's not just that you get extra points and Hashem is being nice to you. But when Hashem does a chesed for you in your life and gives you something good, Hashem is drawing you closer to Himself with that act. And we need to be aware, we need to sense it. Then you have good things and bracha in your life, that means that Hashem is bringing you close. V'chol ha-karov el Hashem b'yeser se'es. And whoever is brought exceedingly close to Hashem is being raised v'hagbal l'mala l'mala, is being raised aloft to higher and higher heights. Whenever a person experiences kindness and bracha in their life, what it means is Hashem is bringing you closer. And therefore, tzarech li'yos yoser shefa ruach l'mata mata. And therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, the response of more chesed in our life, of being raised up, is that we need to make ourselves more and more humble, to be more and more lowered in our own eyes. Kamo shekasuv, as it says, Meirachok Hashem nirali, from afar Hashem has appeared to me. How do we understand the Pasuk? When Hashem appears to an individual through a particular manifestation of chesed, if Hashem does something beautiful for you in your life, you should make yourself meirachok, Meirachok Hashem Nirli. When I am Meirachok, when I am lowered from Hashem, when I'm far away, Hashem appears to me. V'chenoda, as it is known, Dekulei Kamei Dafka Kalo Chashev, that all are before Hashem are as if they are nothing. This is an idea in Kabbalah as well, meaning that a being of even the highest conceivable spiritual level is a nothing before Hashem. Imagine the greatest tzaddik, the greatest tzaddikus you could ever think of, there's still nothing compared to Hashem. Hashem is infinitely powerful and amazing. Hashem is way beyond anything we can comprehend. No matter who you think is the greatest tzaddik and tzaddikus of all time, there's still nothing compared to the greatness of Hashem. Nothing exists before Hashem besides Himself. V'im kein, says the Baal HaTanya, if so, kol shehu kamei yoser, whoever is more before Him, whoever is closer to Hashem, hu yoser kalav ein efes, is much more like nothing, not non-existent, is efes before Hashem. The more a person is raised up, the more a person comes closer to Hashem, the more they should feel lower and more humble before Hashem. Now the Gemara in Masechta Sota says that a tzaddik is allowed to feel a shminis shebishminis, an eighth of an eighth of haughtiness. That's a very unique, odd measurement for the Gemara to say. Essentially, an eighth and eighth is 1/64, something like that, right? Why is the Gemara so specific in saying an eighth of an eighth? So the Vilna Gaon says, an eighth of an eighth of haughtiness means that you should go to the eighth parsha in the Torah, and you should go to the eighth pasuk in that parsha. The eighth parsha in the Torah is this week's parsha. It's Parshas Vayishlach. And you know what the eighth pasuk in this week's parsha is? Katonti mikol ha-chasadim u'mikol ha-ames. That I am nothing, I am lowered before Hashem in all of the kindness. Do you know how much haughtiness a tzaddik should have? None. Efes. Zero. Nothing before Hashem. We are so lowly compared to all of the goodness that Hashem does for us. And he explains further. V'zui b'chinas yamin shebekedusha v'chesed la'avram. This self-effacing response to chasdei Hashem, this approach to Hashem's kindness, where we act in such a way, so is the level of the right side of kedusha, or what we call chesed la'avram, that the divine chesed that is bestowed upon Avram Avinu, right? The pasuk says, "Titein emes liYaakov v'chesed laAvram." She'amar anochi afar ve'efer. I am dust and ashes. The pasuk says, the chesed that Hashem showed Avram Avinu, right? We call it chesed laAvram, right? The kindness that Hashem has with Avram. What does Avram say about himself? Anochi afar ve'efer. I am dust. I am nothing before you, Hashem. The chesed that Hashem showed Avram Avinu motivated him to attain the ultimate degree of anava that this statement expresses. And therefore, just as in Shemayim, the right arm, the yamin, represents the chesed of Hashem, it causes the recipient of the chesed to lose their independent identity and go before Hashem and to be so lowly and to be so humble before Hashem. That's we see the relation between chesed and humility. V'zuhi gam kein midasho sheyakov. And this humility, this anava, that a person should feel when they receive chesed and kindness in their life, is in fact the mid of Yaakov Avinu. Uvezos his nasel al yirasu b'fnei Esav. And therefore he was justified for his fear of Esav. Velo di lo b'havtachaso. And he was not sufficient with the promise of hine anochi imach, that Hashem promised him, I will be with you and protect you wherever you go. Why? This was the case, mipnei hayos katan Yaakov b'ma'od ma'od b'einav. Because Yaakov regarded himself as very, very humble and insignificant. Machmas ribui ha-chasadim. Because of all the kindnesses that Hashem did for him. As he said, ki b'makli, I only came with my staff, and I crossed the Jordan River, and now I have enough for two camps, and now I'm so wealthy. Yaakov said to Hashem, Hashem, you did so much for me. I am not worthy. Ve'eino roi kedai klal l'netzel chulei. And therefore he considered himself to be utterly unfit and unworthy to be saved, as the pasuk goes on to say. So let's understand for a moment, what is the Baal HaTanya? How is he explaining the pasuk in this week's parsha? The Baal HaTanya is saying that the phrase katonti mikol chasadim, that I have been humbled, lowered from all of your kindnesses, is like Rashi says, that Yaakov was made small because of the chesed of Hashem. But here's the key. But it's not just that my zechuyos, I had 100 points in the bank, right? I had 100 points of merit Hashem. And now you did all this good stuff for me, 4 wives, 12 kids, a lot of wealth. And now, you know, I'm withdrawing all of that kindness from my bank account. No, no, no. What Yaakov is saying is that I himself am made humble. Yaakov is not saying that I have no more cash in the bank because I have so much withdrawal from all of the kindness. Yaakov is saying that I himself have been made humble. Katonti, I am humble. I have humility, Hashem, because of all of the goodness. I've responded. You gave me chesed. You gave me kindness. You gave me wealth. You gave me family. You gave me health. My response, says Yaakov, is I am totally humble. I am so humble. I am such an anav before everything you've done for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Baal HaTanya understands our pasuk. And he goes on to explain. Uchamamar Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha, as the sages teach us. And they express this in the Gemara. The Yaakov was apprehensive. Why? Shema Yigram HaChet. This is the expression of the Gemara. Perhaps he had done sins that would cause him to not be worthy and not be saved. Shenidma Be'enav Shechata. That it appeared in his eyes that Yaakov said to himself that I have sinned. And he had this image about himself. Indeed, every Jew would do well to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov, to become more and more humble with every successive chesed that Hashem shows him. You know, lemashal, in the intellectual world, the more a person knows about a certain field, they're an expert in a certain area, the less humble they become. The more success a person gains in an area of expertise, they feel to themselves that they are the experts. And no one can tell them otherwise. I'm an accomplished chef, so no one can tell me how to correct a recipe. I'm an accomplished doctor, so no one can inform me how to practice medicine. I'm an expert plumber, so no one can tell me how to fix a leak. This is what happens too often to us. We get more and more success in our field. We are more and more accomplished in what Hashem gives us in our avodas Hashem, in our jobs, in our lives, and therefore I cannot hear anything else. I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, I'm a great-grandparent. Don't tell me how to talk to my children. Don't tell me how to be mechanech my kids. I know everything there is to know about education, chinuch, schooling, whatever there is. This is not the response of a Yaakov Avinu. That is not the response of the Chesed Avram. If you have been granted children and health and happiness in a beautiful home, and perhaps you have something to learn about health and happiness in a beautiful home, humility will open your heart up and say, maybe I have what to learn. Maybe I am not the expert in the field that I think I'm the expert in. There was a doctor, his name was Ivan France, and he studied for many, many years to show that lower cholesterol doesn't help people live longer. That was the study. This was the thought for many, many years, that lower cholesterol doesn't cause a person to live longer. And Dr. France held this for many, many years. And at a certain point in his research, the numbers started to come back the other way, that lower cholesterol does help a person live longer. And even though he was the greatest expert in that field, and he was considered the speaker, and he was the educator, and he was the master expert, it is a fascinating story. So people should look into the story of Dr. Ivan France. He changed his entire mahalach. And he wrote the entire book on cholesterol and health. Because for Dr. France, his pursuit was not to be right or the most accomplished. His pursuit was MS, and so the truth, and to be a good doctor. And therefore, in the highlight of his career, when he was the biggest expert on health and nutrition and how to balance a healthy life, he rewrote everything he did, and he was fully prepared to accept at the moment that his beliefs might not be right. A great expert who has been given tremendous chesed by Hashem, and a great knowledgeable person, whether it's a parent, an educator, whoever you may be, if you have been given kindness and chesed by Hashem and success in your life, the proper response is humility. Maybe I have more to learn and maybe other people can teach me as well. This is what the Baal HaTanya wants us to understand at this point. Ma she'ein kein b'zeh lumazeh. This is very different, though, with the counterpart. Zelu mazeh means the opposite counterpart. In Judaism, just like there is kedusha and holiness in one aspect, There is unfortunately an equal and opposite counterparts that represents the negative part of that holiness. Hu Yishmo, Chesed Deklipa. This counterpart of the Chesed of Avram is the Chesed of Yishmo. It is the Klipa, the unholy use of that same Midah. It is a different with Yishmo. He personifies the attribute of Chesed that is in the negative. The Zohar writes that Yishmo represents the Chesed of Tumah of Klipa, the opposite of Avram. Just like Esav represents the Gevura of Tumah, he is power in its unhealthy form. Now, a Klipa, what's the issue of a Klipa in Chassidus? Well, how is the Baal HaTanya using it? A Klipa means that the individual, a Klipa means a shell around the fruit, right? What's the problem? The person focuses on the wrong thing. You get an orange, and you peel the orange, and you eat the peel. That's weird. You're missing the point. There's a fruit inside. You forgot there's something more. A klipa means that you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're not getting exactly... It is technically an orange. Well, what's wrong? I'm eating an orange. Yeah, I know it's an orange, technically, but it's not the part of the orange you're supposed to eat. It's the klipa. It's the shell around the orange. So in Chassidus, klipa means that I understand that there is goodness in my life, but I think that goodness is the whole thing. Meaning, I understand there's chesed, but I think the chesed is there because I'm amazing, and I'm talented, handsome, you know, intelligent, all types of wonderful things. I think that's where the chesed comes from, as opposed to understanding that the chesed comes from Hashem, because you're focusing on the klipa, you're focusing on the peel, not the fruit. Yishmal sees chesed in the world and says, oh, it's all me. I'm very kind and very generous. I deserve everything I get. As opposed to Avram, who sees chesed and understands that it comes from Hashem. And that can lead to a sense of, leads to a sense of an improper use of a klipa. Says the Baal HaTanya, Kol shah chesed gadol hu holech v'gadel. The more kindness shown to Yishmael and people like Yishmael, so the more grows in pride. Begova v'gasas ruach v'rochav libo. In arrogance and self-satisfaction and becoming more haughty. The klipa means the person doesn't realize that it's Hashem giving the hashpa. And he senses that the hashpa is on its own without Hashem. And therefore he says, let me talk to my chassidim. He says, v'lozos, and accordingly, basi min ha-mo'di'im, mo'da rabba l'chlalus anshei shlomenu, anash, which they find in Chabad, is Rosh Hashanah for anshei shlomenu, meaning fellow Chabad chassidim. And therefore I'm making a weighty announcement to all of my chassidim. Al riboy ha-chassadim asher higdil Hashem la-sos imanu. For the multitude of favors that Hashem has done with us. I was in jail, we were persecuted, I'm out of jail. How now do I feel, how do I respond to this? How should a Jew feel when you're given tremendous chesed and bracha in your life? He tells us, le'achoz b'midos of shal Yaakov. Grab on to the midah of Yaakov Avinu. She'er amo v'sheiris Yisrael. The Jewish people are known as She'er Amo, the remnant of his people, or She'eris Yisrael, the remainder of Israel. A Jew should possess with himself attributes of remnants and remainders. You should be a leftover. You should be a Shirayim. That's how a person should feel to himself. I'm Shefel, I'm low, I'm not worthy of the kindness that Hashem gives me. I'm a remnant. That's what the Baal HaTanya says. Shemesim Asmo Kishirayim Umosaros Mamish She'ein Bo Shum Tzorech. To regard himself as a remnant, as something truly superfluous, something that is dispensable, that I'm not the end and be all of the world. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Hashem will only come and give his inheritance L'sheiris Nachlaso, to the remnant of his portion, those who treat themselves as secondary, that are not the end and be all of everything. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Tesvav that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be a crown on the head in each of every righteous person. And a person might think this should apply to everybody. And the Pasuk says, no, only L'she'er Amo. To those, says the Gemara, who feel small and humble, and whatever who holds himself in high esteem, says the Gemara in Megillah, Hashem is not going to rest his crown on you. And therefore he says, Shemesim Asma Kashirai Musarus Mama Shembo Shem Tzorech, the Vilti Ron Levavim Achayam, and they shouldn't become haughty amongst their brethren. Who does he mean their brethren? He means the Misnagdim, our opponents. the response of the Baal HaTanya to the persecution being sent in jail, and that whole episode at the end of the 1700s was, don't say anything back to them. Don't make a parade. Don't go on TV. Don't take an ad in the newspaper. Don't go around and say, you know, I'm a big tzaddik. Don't go and talk at conventions, being mechazik people about how you were persecuted, and now you're a big tzaddik that you got out of jail. Says the Baal HaTanya, be quiet. Be humble. If you ended up in jail, and Hashem got you out of jail, it's not a reason to now be a celebrity speaker. You need to be quiet and keep it to yourself. The chesed of Hashem demands shiftless and humility at that point in time. V'lo laharchiv aleihem peh. And don't jeer at them. Oh, the stroke aleihem. Don't whistle at them. Chas v'shalom. Don't turn into a whole show. Has melahazker ba'azhara nora. A strict warning. Hold your peace. Don't say anything. Rak lahashvil rucham v'libam. Rather, you have to subdue their spirits and your hearts. B'midas emes liyakov. And have the midah of emes liyakov and to be like Yaakov Avinu. Mipnei kol adam. In front of every single person. B'nemechus ruach. And to have a restrained spirit. U'man alcha meishiv chema. V'ruach nechei on the next page. And have all this, a person should have a lowly spirit. V'chulei hai uleyitin Hashem b'leiv acheyem. K'mayim hapanim. And through all of this, perhaps Hashem will give our brothers, who we had a disagreement with, a conciliatory and a loving response to the heart of our brothers, as it says, "Kamayim apanim," that the water reflects one face, so does the heart of one's man reflect the heart of another person. Ad kan the letter of the Baal HaTanya. That is how we felt a response from the chesed given to him by Hashem. There's a beautiful story that I read recently in a beautiful book called 70 Conversations in Transit. It is written by a Talmud of Rabbi Soloveitchik, who would drive him around from place to place. And he wrote down a number of conversations that the Rav told him. And in there, he also included other anecdotes that he heard around YU. So he tells the following story. He says, the late president and chancellor of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichron Levracha, began his tenure as president in 1976. And Rabbi Lamb felt that he should mingle with the YU students in the cafeteria at lunchtime. He too waited online with all the students, and he approached the checkout counter. The checkout lady, well acquainted with the various prices, asked this anonymous gentleman opposite her, "Sir, are you a student here?" To which Rabbi Lamb responded, "No, I'm no longer a student here." So she continued, "Sir, do you teach here?" Pausing momentarily, Rabbi Lamb answered, "No, I don't exactly teach here either." So continued the lady, "Are you a guest?" So scratching his head, Rabbi Lamb reacted, "No, I'm certainly not a guest here either." At which point, the very, very frustrated checkout lady concluded, "Sir, if you don't study here, and you don't teach here, you're not a guest, then you're a nobody." And Rabbi Lamb told the person that he found this cafeteria conversation most humbling. This is the president of Yeshiva University. A well-respected person in the community, an accomplished Rav, a Talmud Chacham, a teacher. And the lunch lady told him, "You're a nobody." And this was something Rabbi Lamb felt that a person sometimes needs to hear. You could have great success, you could have great accomplishments, and sometimes you need to know that it's not you, and that it's all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In the Sefer Sidurah Shel Shabbos, they record the following story, a famous mashal, but he lays out the mashal. It's not really a mashal, it's a legend that's told about Rav Sadja Gaon. And he says that it's known that Rav Sadja Gaon was once found by a Talmud in the middle of the night, rolling in the snow as a form of penitence, as a form of tshuva. So the bewildered Talmud asked him, "Why do you need such a severe form of tshuva?" Adding that, "If this is what my Rebbe needs to do for tshuva, then what does that say about the rest of us?" So Rav Sadja Gaon answered that he learned from an innkeeper who he once stayed with that he needed to do tshuva. And Rav Sadja Gaon said that he had stayed at the inn and he was treated like a regular guest until the city was abuzz that the Gadol Hador, the Gaon Rav Sadja, was there staying in this inn. And when the innkeeper heard who his honored guest was, he began to treat him like a VIP, gave him a nice room, gave him better food, and really gave him the treatment that he thought he deserved. So before Rav Sadja Gaon left the inn, the innkeeper fell to his knees and began pleading to Rav Sadja Gaon to forgive him. And Rav Sadja Gaon asked him, "What do you need forgiveness for? Everything was lovely. You treated me beautifully." So he said, "I asked for forgiveness for not knowing who you were when you arrived, and not giving you the proper kavod until afterwards, and not giving that proper kavod from the start. So Rav Sajagon turned to his Talmud, and he told him that I realized that after this incident, that we have to beg for forgiveness for previously not recognizing the greatness that was in front of us, and the lack of knowledge that we had before. And therefore, certainly a person has to do the same when a person gains greater knowledge of Hashem. If I understood Hashem on level X today, but now I understand Hashem X plus 1, and now I have a greater relationship with Hashem, and I have a more connection to Hashem, and I've been raised up by Hashem, and now I see Hashem's greatness even further than I saw before, so my superior level in today's Avodas Hashem compels me to beg forgiveness for my lack of proper service in the past, said Rav Sajagon. And every day that I achieve a higher level of understanding in the of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I regret and do tshuva for my lack of avoda and the intensity that I should have brought to my avoda the day before. Every recognition, every more closeness of Hashem that we have in our lives demands of us more humility, more sense of I should have understood my place, should have understood my role in the world. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef of Polnoi, was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polnoi and the Magen of Mezrich were contemporaries. The Magen of Mezrich became the main disciple who taught the Chassidus of the Baal Shem Tov, but the first major work published of someone who actually heard something from the Baal Shem Tov was the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. So he tells a mashal that the Baal Shem Tov would use. And he says, I heard from my Rebbe that it says on the Pasuk, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. That it says Hashem brings Nekama, Hashem brings retribution. And he told the following story of a man who rebelled against the king. And in rebelling against the king, he was brought before the king in chains, and instead of the king throwing him in the dungeon or punishing him right away, he took this man who rebelled him and put him in a post in his kingdom. And he gave him a job, a nice cushy government job, good pension, and he gave him good insurance, and it was a nice position. And eventually the man worked and made his way up towards the ranks and higher and higher and higher, up towards the service of the king. And each time this man went one ring higher or got more things from the king, it ate him up inside even more. And it tore him apart because the king was killing him with kindness. To go and to shech the guy and to put him in jail, so that's one way to bring your retribution. But that's a one-time event. But says the Baal Shem Tov, the way Hashem can bring a person up to do tshuva and cause a person to be raised up and to feel bad that they did not act properly in their relation with Hashem before is by giving you more chesed and more kindness and more brach and more beautiful things. That a person should be raised up in the honor of the king and come to a place to understand, oh my gosh, what is Hashem doing to me? I don't deserve this. All the things I did in the past, I spoke this way to my mother, whatever it may be. And now Hashem is raising me up, and that will bring a person to do tshuva, says the Baal Shem Tov. Because he will see Hashem is an amazing God. He's a Kel Nekamos. Hashem is powerful. Hashem is doing chesed with me. And my response needs to be, katonti mikol ha-chasadim, u'mikol ha-emes. To humble ourselves, to have a sense of humility, in that continued avoda. When we speak about kirvas Hashem, when we speak about closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that the closeness should give us a feeling of godless, that I'm better, or I'm more profound, or I'm smarter, or I have a better relationship with Hashem than the person sitting next to me on the bench. In fact, it's the opposite. The more we come close to Hashem, the more we develop ourselves as Ovdei Hashem, then the feeling of being smaller should grow. The feeling of closeness should reveal the godless and the power of Hashem and should cause us to feel small before Hashem. As the Baal Tanya said, if chesed dero yamina yivimno techabkeni, if Hashem is bringing me close with His right hand, shibachinas kirbas elokim mamash, that Hashem is close to me, then this should cause lios shafa ruach b'ma'od. It should cause us to become more humble and have greater appreciation of our place in the world. The Baal Tanya says that this is the midah of Yaakov, that kol ha-chasadim brought him to a place of katonti. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav, says that this is why, even though we are told, lo Yaakov ye'amer od shimcha kim Yisrael, that no longer will your name be Yaakov, but now will be called Yisrael, how often does the Torah refer to Yaakov as Yisrael? Almost never. Yaakov Avinu retains the name Yaakov. Why? Because when Yaakov was raised up and he fought with a malach, can you imagine telling that story to your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? I fought with a malach Hashem. You would feel so proud of yourself. It didn't make him haughty. It made him feel even more humble and have more humility. It lowered himself in his own eyes because he merited such kirvas Hashem, such closeness with Hashem. And the greater the revelation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Yaakov continued to feel Ekev, like a heel, like he was lowly and not worthy of all the kindness that Hashem gave him. Look at Yishmael, though. The chesed of Klipa, the opposite. The Be'er Mayim Chaim explains that this is why Yaakov sent Malachim, as Rashi says to Esav, right? It says he sends Malachim. Rashi says there's two pshatim, either messengers or Malachim Amish, actual angels. He wanted Esav to feel that he was very chashuv. Yaakov, Esav, and Yishmael are the same camp, and they're the same klipa. Yaakov wanted Esav to feel very chashuv. A malach Hashem comes to greet you, make you feel special. This would be Esav's downfall. Because when Esav received the malachim, the actual angels from Yaakov Avinu, did Esav become more humble? No. Esav became more haughty. And that just pushed him further and further and further out to Seir Esav, out to the Har Esav, the mountains of Esav. No chelek, no bechor, nothing. Because Esav took that kirvas Hashem, that revelation of seeing a malach, and it became, made him more haughty. Yaakov wrestled with a malach, and he became Ekev. Esav saw malachim, and he became more haughty. The total opposite direction of a Jew. This is the midah that the Baal HaTanya is speaking about. So let's just sum up for a moment, bring this all together, and talk about how we can bring this forward into our own avoda. There is so much chesed in our lives. There is so much kindness. But too often, when we receive that chesed from Hashem, we feel like we're entitled. We feel like this is exactly what we need. I worked hard for this. I raised the child to get to this point. I made this chasana. And instead of walking away from a beautiful family simcha, a chasana, bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, whatever it may be, we often walk away with, yes, I did it. Why? Why is that your response? Hashem brought you to this point. Hashem gave you this chesed. The response needs to be, Hashem, I don't know what I did to earn this. I don't know what brach I'm getting for this. I don't know what zuchus I have, what zuchus avos I have. Katonti mikol chesedim umikol emes. That is the response to his family, a Jewish simcha. More humility, a sense of place that Hashem is giving me a bracha, and my response is katonti. The birth of a child in the family is not something to be paraded around. And so we have to be so careful about how we speak about that when a child is born into a Jewish family. A sense of humility, a bracha. How many couples do not have that bracha right away in their marriage? How many people are lacking in that aspect of their life and struggling through fertility? They tell a beautiful story about Rav Shach. A young man who was just married for a year came to Rav Shach and said, Rebbe, I had a baby girl. Do I need to make a kiddush? So Rav Shach asked the young man, he said, do you need to make a kiddush? He said, you were married for how long? Just a year, I had a baby almost by our anniversary. So Rav Shach said, let me ask you a question. He said, if I would have told you that it would take you 10 years to have a child, and after 10 years, you would have your first child, would you make a kiddush? So the man said, of course I'd make a kiddush. That's a tremendous simcha. 10 years, no child, and now I have a healthy baby. That's a huge simcha. Of course I make a kiddush. So Rav Shach said you should make two kiddushes. One that you had a baby girl, and another that Hashem didn't make you wait 10 years. That's how we respond. Katon t'mikola chasadim mikola emes. We're not worthy. We're humble. The more Hashem raises us up, the more bracha Hashem gives us, the more we lower ourselves and understand that we are nothing before Hashem. You have a comfortable parnasa, and you have a beautiful home to live in, and someone gets a promotion, is the response after that promotion and that extra boost of cash a nicer car? Is the response more things to have? Is that the response? Katon t'mikol achas m'kol emes. Hashem gave you a chesed, a sense of humility, a sense of how we spend our money, a sense of our place and how we show that money. The more Hashem gives to you and the more Hashem raises you up, the more Hashem saves you from your brother Esav. And the more Hashem gives you a big family, and the more Hashem gives you a parnasa, and the more Hashem lifts you up again and again and again, the response of a Jew, says the Baal HaTanya, is always, katonti mikol chasadim mikol emes. Thank you so much. Have a good day.